This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And this morning, we welcome Senator John Tester. Good morning, John.
Good to be with you, fellas. It seems like I was just there in the studio.
Yeah. I recall that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago, but it's good to have you on the phone with us again because there's so many things changing in D.C. right now, and we want to get caught up. First thing,
I just want you to know that I'm speaking to you from my palatial office in Washington, D.C. Just want you to know that.
Okay. All right. Well, we know you've got the big office because you're the big cheese there.
Oh, yeah, right, sir. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right. The only thing I want to talk about is that darn Chinese spy balloon. The more I hear about this thing, the more concerned I get.
So any incursion on our airspace is something to pay attention to because, quite frankly, it's unacceptable whether it's a fighter, whether it's a bomber, whether it's a spy balloon. And we've been talking with the military for some time now, and there's still some questions we need to get answered. So we rifled off a letter earlier this week. To get information on the spy balloon from a couple different agencies, not only defense, but commerce and treasury also. Mainly, you know, when they dug this thing out of the ocean after it was shot down in the Atlantic, they found a technology on it that has come from the United States. And so we need to find out how much of that stuff is over-the-counter stuff that you or I could buy on Amazon or eBay or any other place, versus stuff that could potentially be high-tech stuff that they shouldn't have access to at all. Hmm. And for two reasons. Number one, to make sure that our export control program stops companies from selling anything that's they shouldn't be to China. And then trying to figure out ways we can stop the over-the-counter stuff to go into their hands, which is very, very difficult to do, I might add. But the truth is that we just need some more information. Now, I've already told you guys that that balloon did not get information because they saw it over the west coast of Alaska and then tracked it all the way down. So everything was pretty well buttoned up when it came over the top of a place like Malmstrom Air Force Base and the base in Nebraska and other sensitive areas that it flew over. But the truth is We still need to make sure this never happens again. We've got money in the defense budget right now that we'll be dealing with a week from today in committee that deals with the balloon situation because it's an old phenomenon that has resurfaced and now is a kind of a new phenomenon. You know, they used balloons back in the Civil War and places like that. Who would have ever thought they would be using a balloon in the 21st century? But that's exactly what happened. And an incursion on airspace is serious business, and we got to make sure that we get the information. We got to make sure we're holding the agencies accountable so that they do the right thing.
Well, yeah, I just was thinking when you said that you could buy these consumer products at Amazon or eBay. What about Alibaba? My gosh, how much stuff are we selling to Alibaba to sell in China?
Yeah, that's right, or Alibaba, wherever they get their stuff. What I'm saying is that some of the stuff is pretty common stuff, and I don't know if you can stop them from getting it because, quite honestly, they could have somebody else buy it for them and ship it over there and all that. But if there are ways to do that, we need to do it. And if any of this stuff was high-tech, sensitive stuff, we've got to hold the companies accountable that shipped it over to them because that's not what we should be about. We should be about the United States of America and keeping it to the greatest country that's ever existed in the world, both economically and militarily. And in order to do that, we've got to make sure that everybody's following the rules. And China is our main threat in this world right now. And I think the stuff that's gone on recently with the Secretary of State going over and the Secretary of Treasury going over and talking with the Chinese folks is important because conversations is always good. It'll help stop from getting into a conflict. But you've got to make sure that we are watching them and watching them closely to make sure that they're not violating our airspace or anything else that this country holds dear.
Well, John, you're the chairman of the, let me see if I get this right, the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee.
And that's correct.
Where do we stand on the National Defense Authorization Bill?
That bill is an authorization bill that allows me in my capacity as chairman of the Defense Subcommittee to appropriate the money. So we're working on the National Defense Authorization Act right now. We'll have our first votes on it this afternoon. And it will hopefully be done, unless we run into a bunch of folks who just want to stop it. But it will hopefully be done the end of next week. And if you combine that with the fact that, you know, look, Jack Reed is the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, which is where that bill originated. I work with Jack all the time on making sure that we pretty much reflect what they're doing from an authorization standpoint to what we're doing with an appropriation standpoint. There are some changes, but they're relatively small. So we've got the appropriations bill coming out a week from today. This NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, that authorizes the spending will be done the end of next week. Then what happens is when we come back in September, because August we're gone, we're back in the state. We come back in September, we'll take that defense spending bill, the appropriations bill, up on the floor. It'll be different than the House bill. It'll go to conference. Then we'll vote on the conference changes, and then it'll go to the president's desk by the end of September, which is when these bills are supposed to be done. That's the end of our fiscal year. So we're on track for the first time in a long time to have these bills done when they're supposed to be done, so we don't have a government shutdown or a continuing resolution. Now, there are some that I serve with back here, both in the Senate and the House, that are longing to have a government shutdown. I don't get it. I don't understand what the point of this is, other than, you know, really playing into China's hands and a lot of this stuff, and Russia and North Korea and Iran too. But I'm going to do everything I can do to try to prevent that, and hopefully we're able to do that. But, you know, some of the folks around here, it's more about them than it is the country, and I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah. John Tester is our guest. He's our senior senator from the state of Montana. The Blackfoot Clearwater Stewardship Act. I have no idea what that is, but we'll all know more about it with the senator right after this.
You have challenges you face every day, things like picking up the kids or getting to work. But in our valley, there are people whose greatest challenge is having food to eat. For Glacier Bank, member FDIC, I'm Katie Persinger. The Flathead Food Bank exists to help others. And the food bank depends on the generosity of caring people like you, especially now. Last year, the food bank had the largest demand in its entire 40-year history. Here's how you can help. An entire summer's worth of food backpacks for kids is only $75. A summer's worth of pantry visits for a child is $200. An $1,100 donation funds a half day of all food pantry visits. Summer is a critical time for so many local families. Let's feed our valley by donating online at www.flatheadfoodbank.com. Glacier Bank knows you care.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
Today we're talking with Senator John Tester. And, you know, John, I guess my thoughts about the Blackfoot River is I've done some fly fishing down there, which is a fabulous place for that. The Blackfoot also is the setting for a river runs through it. And that supposedly is where Brad Pitt caught that great fish, you know, that pulled him down the river. Are we talking about the same Blackfoot?
Well, I think we are, actually. You know, Montana, I always tell folks there's no place in the lower 48 like Montana. And one of the reasons for that is many rivers, including the Blackfoot. And so I'm going to take you back about 15 years. I had a bill called the Forest Jobs and Recreation Act, and it had components from southwest Montana, components from the Sealy area, which is the Blackfoot area, and then components from up in the Libby area, northwest Montana. We weren't able to get that bill done, so I broke it up into three pieces. This is one of those pieces. This is the piece around Sealy. It is a bill that years ago was crafted by the people on the ground in that region for a couple of reasons, for tree harvest, for recreational purposes, to set some land aside for wilderness. It's a bill that is supported by 84% of the Montanans. And it would protect nearly 80,000 acres of wildlife habitat next to the Bob, in the Bob, Mission Mountain, Scape Goat Wilderness. So it opens up some land for snowmobiling, for recreation, and biking and hiking. And so it really is a broad-based piece of legislation that everybody's had their opportunity to pitch in on over the last decade. And we got a hearing, finally, in Energy and Natural Resources last week. That's the first step of maybe getting a vote and getting it out of committee and getting the doggone thing passed so that we can continue to do the kind of things in our country, from forest management with tree cuts to recreational opportunities. And we get this thing done, it's just going to create jobs and do some good things for the state overall, not just in the Sealy area, but for the whole state and for the Blackfoot River, of course. So we've been working on it and we're moving. And I think this is a good sign. The fact that it came before committee is a good sign. Now we got to work to make sure the committee votes it out. So we'll be doing a little lobbying on that. And then we've got to work to try to get it attached to another bill, because that's typically how this goes. There's simply not enough time to take the time to have a vote on this. So we'll put it in amendment form, and then we can debate the amendment on the full floor of the Senate, have a vote, hopefully get it attached to a piece of some legislation and move forward from there. So it's heading in the right direction.
John, we're experiencing just incredible heat here and drought here in northwest Montana, and it seems to be holding like all over the entire country, in fact, the entire world. What is the attitude toward climate change and what's precipitating all this in the House of Congress?
So I'm going to tell you, I mean, you guys know I farm, and when I talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago coming up here, I think tomorrow or the next day, I had peas that were dead green. I mean, I didn't think I'd be cutting those things until the end of August. And last weekend I was home, and I'm going to be harvesting those things in about another week. It's just, man, it's talk about drying stuff out. And it's all about heat. And look, it's not uncommon to have Montana dry up in July and August. But what we're seeing worldwide is we're seeing intense heat. We're seeing record days of intense heat all over the world. And it's causing some problems in particularly with water, to be honest with you. But that aside, the folks here have been very hesitant to take up anything on climate. I think there's a belief that, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, there's a belief that anything we do isn't going to help unless the whole world does it. I have a little different perspective. I think that we need to lead as a nation. We are, as I said, the leading economy in the world, and we are the leading military in the world. Those are important, and we've got allies, and I think if we were to do some things like make some investments in battery technology, they're being made, but we just really need to amp it up, kind of like put a man on the moon in the decade of the 60s happened, then I think you'd see things change around the world much, much quicker. And I think that if we don't pay attention to Mother Nature, we have to understand that she always bats last. And if we're going to deny that we're going to do anything, then from an agricultural standpoint, there's going to be a lot less food raised, and that's a problem. And so I just think if we're going to give our kids the kind of opportunities that our parents and grandparents gave us, we should be addressing this in common sense ways that doesn't drive energy prices through the roof, but yet gives people options so that we can deal with the climate issue. What I tell folks all the time, and this is a fact, if I could get an electric tractor I could farm 16 hours a day on, and it was competitive in price, I'd buy it tomorrow. There's a lot less moving parts in it. There's a lot less noise, and it'd be kind of fun. But we're not there yet, and the reason we're not there yet, we've got the motors to do it. We don't have the battery technology to power it. And so we really do need to start making some serious investments in that. And then, you know, other people will say, well, you know, that energy's powered by coal, and it is, and it'll take a while to make the transition. But the transition to other forms of power, some that we don't even know yet, is going to happen, as it's happened with wind and solar so far. It's going to create some jobs, and it's going to help move the ball forward. This is all going to take some time, but there's no reason not to get aggressive today so our kids don't have to do things that are pretty draconian when climate change becomes an issue and we can't raise the food we need to feed the world.
Well, you know, you mentioned feeding the world, and the concern that's up here in the last few days has been the situation of getting food out of and fertilizer out of Russia and out of Ukraine to the rest of the world. Have we made any progress on that from your perspective?
No, in fact, it's not a good situation. It's my understanding that Russia's done some pretty negative things in the bombing realm on that port. This is serious business for particularly Africa, and the food that is not going to be flowing in there is going to create more unrest, more uncertainty, more violence, more problems. It's really hard to deal with folks who are starving to death. It is just tough, and the truth is that food that was coming out of Ukraine, much of it went to Africa, and it's just their food security is just getting blown out of the water by this. It's not a good situation. It just further goes to show how irresponsible Putin is and what a bad actor this guy is on the world stage.
Let's talk about veterans right after this.
Some of you stroll, others sprint, but at this run, you'll boogie. This is Ashley Campbell with Glacier Bank, member FDIC. At this event, you can't help but boogie. After all, it's part of Heritage Days, it's summertime, and you're feeling good. So whatever your pace, we hope you'll join the Boogie to the Bank 5 or 10K run or 5K walk. And the youngsters ages 4 to 12, they're invited to join the Glacier Kids Fun Run. Everything starts at 8 a.m. on July 29th, Nucleus Avenue in Columbia Falls. All participants get a t-shirt, and the top placers in each age category in the 5 and 10K run get medals. All of our Fun Run kids take home a medal, t-shirt, and treat. Details and registration links are online at runsignup.com. Happy Heritage Days, everyone. It's your chance to boogie.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Our guest today, U.S. Senator John Tester, one of your special projects is looking out for the veterans. And what is the case with the health care right now and Agent Orange? So, I guess it's the burn pits that we're
looking at. Yeah, well, all so we passed. That's a great question, Robin. And I didn't let you finish.
No.
So the burn pit thing with the PACT Act, it's being implemented now. I just talked to the Adjutant General here from Montana. He was in my office this morning, and everybody's working together to try to get as many folks tuned into the eligibility for benefits and health care from the PACT Act that they can to get folks on board. And I would just tell the folks and veterans in Northwest Montana, if you haven't signed up for the PACT Act, do it today. As of August 8th, when that passes, the retroactive benefits will go away. The benefits will be there going forward, but the retroactive ones won't. When we passed the PACT Act, what we said was anybody who signs up within the next year will get retroactive benefits to the beginning of the bill. So that's important. So if you haven't done that, if you served in the Middle East, if you served in Vietnam, and you haven't signed up yet, you just need to do it. Get online, get a hold of some of the veteran service organizations out there if you're a veteran, and or get a hold of my office. We'll help you get through that sign-up challenge. But in the end, we're just doing right by our veterans. Look, they go over, they serve, they get exposed to burn pits, oil well fires, all this stuff can raise heck with you, give you cancer, give you breathing difficulties. This gives us the opportunity to take care of at least some of the injuries that came from those burn pits. And then what's even as good a news or better is that there's a new VA health clinic coming to Kalispell. I believe it will be opened up in 2026. Hopefully it gets in before that. That's a positive thing. I can tell you the state of Montana right now is applying for a veteran cemetery up at Columbia Falls. We're going to be pushing that, too, at our level to see if we can get that firmed up for the veterans, a final resting spot for those folks who have served this country. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the veteran space right now, starting with the PACT Act. Didn't even talk about the mental health stuff we're doing, but it's a big deal too. We just need to get more providers out there in places like Kalispell and in Libby and places like that. And then we just got to make sure that the veterans out there, and that's why I'm so thankful you brought the issue up, that the veterans out there know that they need to sign up. It doesn't happen without some proactive measures on their part. And there's folks out there that'll help you. There's veteran service officers out there that can help. You can call up the VA, they'll help. Call up my office, we'll help. Any of the veterans groups like the VFW, American Legion, Iraq, Afghanistan vets, there's a bunch of them out there. Your neighbor's probably a member of one of them. Get a hold of them, they'll give you a hand and get you signed up. So it's all good.
I think the issue with signing up, and I'm having a few issues with it myself, is this ID thing that they put into getting into the system and getting it. It seems like you just kind of run in circles.
I will have, if you don't mind, John, I'm going to have my VA guy call you up because that's the kind of input we need, because then we can get all the VA and say, you know, clean it up. I had a round table up in Kalispell and I had one down in Billings that talked about the PACT Act. And one of the things that was brought up is you have to have a password that's, you know, my God, it's long.
Yep.
Long, has a bunch of characters in it. Look, I have a hard time typing my name without making a mistake. How do you do these passwords with all this stuff, you know? And so we're working with them to get this thing cut down to make sure there's the firewalls in there. So if somebody does happen to sign in under your name, John, or somebody's name, that it doesn't really matter. What are they going to sign you up for, benefits? I mean, really? we'll see what happens. But I'm going to have I'll have my staff call you when you get off the air here in a few hours, and we'll bore down on that a little bit.
That's all
good,
right?
Information.
I appreciate it. Thank you. John, as always, a great conversation. We never, ever get enough time to talk about all the things we want to talk with you about, but we appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys and wish you the best. Stay cool, and we'll move on from there.
All right. Thanks, John.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.